This is Missouri Appellate Opinions, presented by Ott Law Firm, a St. Louis area plaintiff's litigation firm. Today's case, Treasurer of the State of Missouri, Custodian of the Second Injury Fund, Appellant versus Diana Penny Respondent, decided April 29th, 2025 by the Supreme Court of Missouri. Treasurer of the State of Opinion issued April 29th, 2025, Missouri Custodian of the Second Injury Fund, Appellant v. No. SC170693, Diana Penny, Respondent, Appeal from the Labor and Industrial Relations Commission, the Treasurer of the State of Missouri, as Custodian of the Second Injury Fund, the Fund, appeals the award of permanent total disability, PTD, benefits in connection with Diana Penny's March 2019 primary injury claim. The Fund argues the Labor and Industrial Relations Commission, the Commission, failed to strictly construe Section 287.223.2 AAAAI1, Category Recovery 2, by allowing pre-existing occupational diseases to qualify under that subsection. Because Category T provides a pre-existing disability, must be a direct result of a compensable injury as defined in Section 287.020. And Section 287.020 encompasses injuries by accident and excludes occupational diseases. This court won. All statutory references are to RSMO 2016 unless otherwise noted. Two holds pre-existing occupational diseases do not qualify under Category Towers Tsai. The Commission's decision is reversed. Factual and procedural background: Penny worked as a pharmacy technician from 1980 to 2019. Penny's work required her to extensively use her hands by giving out prescriptions, typing on the computer, using the cash register, and screwing and unscrewing prescription bottle lids. Between 2018 and 2019, Penny was diagnosed with three repetitive use occupational diseases due to her employment with CVS Pharmacy in Kansas City. In June 2018, Penny filed a work-related occupational disease claim regarding her low back. Penny attributed this injury to the repetitive activities of working as a pharmacy technician, including unloading and stocking deliveries, which required frequently bending over while lifting products onto shelves. She underwent two surgeries involving multi-level decompression and fusion to her low back. In February 2019, Penny filed another work-related occupational disease claim, this one involving protruding discs in her neck and upper back. The injury arose due to Penny repeatedly pulling orders from overhead while holding the telephone between her neck and shoulder. In March 2019, Penny filed a final work-related occupational disease claim after she was diagnosed with right carpal tunnel syndrome and ulnar nerve entrapment at the elbow on the left side, the primary injury. Two, Penny had carpal tunnel surgery on October 2nd, the final subsequent compensable work-related injury, referred to in Section 287.220.32, A.B., is often referred to as the primary injury. Treasurer of Mote v. Parker, 622, SW3D, 178, 181, Mo Bank, 2021. 3, 2019, but continues to have pain and weakness in both hands. Penny stopped working in August 2019 due to pain from the combination of her three work-related occupational diseases. She experiences pain in her low back, arms, neck, shoulders, and hands, as well as difficulty sleeping. Penny sought PTD benefits from the fund. The matter was heard before an administrative law judge, ALJ, who concluded Penny is permanently and totally disabled as a result of the combined effect of her occupational diseases and determined she is entitled to PTD benefits from the fund. The fund appealed to the commission, arguing the ALJ improperly considered Penny's two pre-existing occupational diseases under Category 5 to conclude she was permanently and totally disabled. The commission disagreed and affirmed the ALJ's award of PTD benefits. The fund appeals, again, arguing Penny's occupational diseases cannot qualify as pre-existing injuries under Category D for purposes of a PTD determination. This court agrees. Standard of review. This court reviews the commission's findings to determine if they are supported by competent and substantial evidence upon the whole record, but questions of statutory interpretation are questions of law reviewed de novo. Parker, 622 SW3D at 180-81, quotation omitted. When interpreting statutes, this court must ascertain the intent of the legislature by considering the plain and ordinary meaning of the terms, and give effect to that intent if possible. It emerges at 181, quotations omitted. Insight into the legislature's four object can be gained by identifying the problems sought to be remedied and the circumstances and conditions existing at the time of the enactment. Bochtel v. Miller, Kenty. Nursing Home Dist, 110 SW3D 799, 801, Mobonk, 2003. This court must presume the legislature intended every word, clause, sentence, and provision of a statute to have effect. Hyde Park Housing P-Ship vs. Deer of Revenue, 850 SW2D 82, 84, Mobonk, 1993. Conversely, it dubbed